Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer in for John Hockenberry today. It's day two of Congress's lame duck session. Republicans and Democrats are gearing up for the first skirmishes in what promises to be quite the battle to remake the U.S. economy. So here are two questions. Are we going to bail out the big three automakers? And, oh, by the way, what's going to happen to Senator Joe Lieberman? Todd Zwillick is here. He's a reporter for PRI's Capitol News Connection, and he is joining us from Capitol Hill this morning. Hey, Todd, let's talk economy before politics.
Yes.
What's going to happen with the auto bailout?
Well, if you're an executive at one of the big three, you're probably not feeling great about it at this point. And the main reason for that is the 60-vote threshold in the Senate. Keep in mind, this is still the 110th Congress, not the 111th. So all of those gains that Democrats have made in the election, they haven't taken effect yet. Those new senators don't have a vote on the floor yet. So it's still 51-49 in the Senate, and 51 is not enough to get you to 60, obviously. And there are a lot of Republicans, and many of them took to the floor yesterday, who are not in favor of $25 billion or anything approaching it for the auto industry. We'll see what happens in hearings today, but without convincing a lot of Republicans and even a couple of Democrats who've thrown a little bit of cold water on this. Without that, they're not going to get that in this 110th Congress.
Todd, what's the fundamental resistance to bailing out the auto industry? Everyone's got an opinion about the auto industry. Obviously, this is a very sensitive time in the economy. But what's the fundamental reason for not acting right now?
Well, I think you heard the crux of it in Senator Kyle's remarks in the audio that you played, which is basically $25 billion now without fundamental changes to the way these companies are doing business, their union contracts, the billions they spend on health care and pensions. Without fundamentally changing that, it's throwing good money after bad.
But why not demand those changes then? Give the money in exchange. I think, as Barack Obama indicated yesterday, that it couldn't be a blank check without some kind of conditions.
Well, I think then you get into the weeds of what those conditions actually look like and what a lot of Republicans want. First of all, philosophically, this is the same argument that was made with the bigger bailout of the financial industry. A lot of Republicans philosophically believe that businesses that are failing should be allowed to fail. And they've had quite enough of this bailout of industries. It goes against their principles. So that's point one. And then point two, another thing that Kyle said yesterday is that's what Chapter 11 is for, Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Let them go into Chapter 11. Let them restructure. Let them slim down. Let them let go whom they need to let go. Change those contracts. And then we can talk about supporting them, but not before.
What discussion are you hearing, though, about the fact that in some ways this is much more about not only the jobs at the automakers, but at the suppliers and the ripple effect as it goes on and on and on?
Well, of course. And you hear that discussion a lot, and that's the argument on the Democratic side, and many Republicans acknowledge that as well. You hear that argument being made strongly by the Michigan delegation and by delegations with assembly plants, parts plants in their states. So this is the tug of war that's going on. And part of the dynamic, of course, is that this Congress is leaving soon and a new administration is coming soon.
So I was just going to say, how much of this is time is of the essence? I mean, how much of this is we only have a few days of this lame duck session, and how much of it is the fact, what if they don't get the help this week? Then what happens?
Well, if they don't get the help this week, then it's wait and see. GM... Some executives from GM have said, we might not be here in January when you guys come back. Or if we do, we'll be further damaged. It will be even more expensive to save this industry then. So cheaper to do something now than to do something in January or February. If they don't manage to do something this week, it'll be wait and see. And I would be surprised if you don't see the big three come back in January as soon as there's a new Congress and try to ask again.
Before we get to politics, let's look at the other side of the bailout, and that would be the overall $700 billion financial bailout package. What kind of action do you think we're going to see on that this week with the lame duck session?
Well, the Fed chairman and Hank Paulson, the Treasury secretary, were up here last night, and they're up here again this morning in the House Financial Services Committee. So the question now is close to about $290 billion has already been spent. You know, they have the $700 total, and it comes in here's the math. It comes in $350 billion blocks. So they're getting close to the end of the first $350 billion. To get the next $350 billion, the administration has to ask Congress. And they're getting to that point where you start to say, will Paulson ask for the next slice or will he kick it to his successor in the Obama administration? Paulson has said so far, and I think told the Wall Street Journal, that he doesn't want to ask for that money. He wants to hold it in reserve to get more punch from it. But if events unfold and volatility keeps being what it is on the stock market, he may have to ask for it. Now, in the rules, if he asks for it and Congress isn't around, they may have to reconvene yet again to approve it, or they could to approve it or to block it, or they could stay away altogether and the administration would get their money automatically. I think you'll probably hear some of those dynamics come up this morning in Barney Frank's committee, whether or not Hank Paulson intends to ask for the money. If he does, what are you going to do with it? Because last time, you know, for this first slice, you sort of changed strategy midstream there, and now you're taking a completely different direction. Will he ask for the authority to use the next $350 billion or exit?
Before he's going to ask for that, before he's going to ask for that money, Todd, I think Barney Franks, the chairman of the Financial Services Committee, we spoke with him last week, and he made it abundantly clear that he's going to be asking some questions about why the banks are not relending the money. If they are getting these billion-dollar checks from the Treasury, why is that not seen in a turnaround on the other side of it in the hands of consumers, whether you're talking about companies or individuals? And there's some question as to whether or not that money is actually being lent out.
Yeah, and Mr. Frank has had that concern since this plan was even passed. I remember, you know, a couple of months ago, well, I guess it was about 6 weeks ago now, before the bailout was even finalized, he was going around saying, we're going to be bird-dogging this plan. We're going to be watching it like a hawk, if I can use another bird metaphor, to make sure that the money gets used as it's intended. And it wasn't very long afterward and before Mr. Frank called hearings even before the adjournment to call Bank of America and some of the lenders onto the carpet to make sure they're lending the money the way he was led to believe they should, or whether the way that he wants them to. He apparently still thinks that it's not going the way he wants to. So he'll be raising those questions today. And you can bet in the new Congress, this plan's going to be around. We're not going to be out of the woods once Senator Obama becomes President Obama. So these hearings will continue, there's no doubt.
All right, Todd. I want us to quickly go over to what I think of as the marital counseling portion of the lame duck session. Let's hear this from Senator Tom Carper, Democrat from Delaware, once again talking about Joe Lieberman.
Members will be able to say how they feel in their hearts to his face. He'll have the opportunity to speak to all of us from his heart. And somewhere at the end of that, we hope to find a balance that reflects our disappointment, our profound disappointment with his behavior as it pertains to Barack, and an opportunity to try to make sure that he stays in our caucus.
You know, Todd, they're not mad. They're just disappointed. So what is going to happen with Senator Lieberman on the Hill?
Well, he's going to face is it quite a jury? He's going to face a group of his peers today in the Democratic caucus. This is the classic behind wooden closed doors meeting, secret ballot. Lieberman faces his colleagues to answer for what Tom Carper was talking about, his behavior. His behavior, of course, not only supporting John McCain in the election, but speaking at the Republican National Convention, and not only speaking at the convention, but saying a couple of negative things about Barack Obama. And in the collegial world of the Senate, that is a no-no. A lot of them are very, very upset about it, and they want consequences. They want bad behavior to be punished, and that looks like it's going to be determined later on this morning.
Todd, what do you think the choices are? What are the options?
Well, okay, so you've got several. Lieberman option one is Lieberman could be kicked out of the caucus entirely. You no longer get to meet with us Democrats. We want you out of the club. Now, you heard Tom Carper say they don't want that to happen, and that's because of pragmatism. They want every vote they can get, and whether or not you are mad at him for supporting John McCain, Lieberman usually votes with the Democrats, so they want his vote. He has a committee chairmanship. That's the Homeland Security Committee and government oversight. He could be stripped of that. Now, Lieberman has suggested, it is said, nobody knows exactly the back and forth between he and Harry Reid. It has been suggested that Lieberman has said, if you push me too far, if you take away my chairmanship, I will just jump and go with the Republicans myself. He's not backing into this. Lieberman has been in the Senate a long time, and he made the choice to do this. So they could take away his committee chairmanships. Third, he has subcommittee chairmanships. He has armed services. He has an environmental committee.
Okay, Todd, we're going to have to take that. We're going to have to stop it there. Todd Zwillich.